I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I mean, he's looking for the Lord. He said, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Note this. On the left hand, where he doth work. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. It ain't about knowing. It wasn't about where Job seeking where he could see God. He's in a left-hand time of his life. But look in verse 10. I'm glad God knows. Woo! When you can't find God, God always knows where you're at. Look what he said in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You can be seated. Father, we pray today that you'd help us and enable us and empower us to preach the Word of God and the power and the liberty of the Holy Ghost. I need help, God. I can't do it, but God, I want to do my best to mind you today. Lord, it's a subject that I've never dealt with before. Not in this way. I have dealt with it, Lord, in other ways, but I pray you'd help me today. Help me to be a blessing. There may be some people right now experiencing a sorrow, a hardship, a sad time in their life. There may be some people on the left side of life, but Job, through the written Word of God, has told us the truth, that on the left side is where God doth work. And Lord, I'm glad it's not a hopeless side. Woo! Hey man, I'm glad it's a side where you do work. In Jesus' name, help me, Lord. Save a sinner, touch the saint, and give glory out of all. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. Amen. With the Lord's help today, I want to try my best to preach on this left side, that God works on the left side. Some people have said this could be called the good news for those on the left side. Some have called it the gospel of the left hand. Notice what the Bible said. He said, I looked on my left hand where he doth work. Job told us, he said, God works on the left hand. Amen. He said, I looked there. I know that God works there. I know he's a very present help in time of need. Job said, I know God is my refuge. He had already said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, hey, he knew the eyes of the Lord were over the righteous, and God's ears were open on their prayer. He knew Hebrews before Paul ever wrote it, and he knew that the Lord was his helper, and he did not have to fear what man shall do unto him. He had these so-called friends that were miserable comforters. They heaped sorrow upon him, and everywhere he looked for help, he could not find it. But then he realized, Brother Justin, thank God, hallelujah, that it didn't matter if he could see God. God was always there. He was never so far that he was out of God's sight. But in his hardship, he shared a truth with us. He said, I looked on my left hand where God doth work. Amen. And on the right side, you can say it's where Mary was. You remember when Mary and Martha had a precious visitor that day, and the Lord had walked in, and the Bible says that Mary was sitting at his feet, and Martha was cumbered about much doing, and she beckoned unto the Lord and said, Lord, would you deal with Mary, my sister, and tell her to come help me? And he said, Mary had chose that good part. She was at the right place that she needed to be. Oh, that's a wonderful place. It's a worshipful place. It's a welcome place. It's a wise place. We all need to be in that place. But the truth is, we are not always there sometimes. Sometimes we have hardships, and sometimes, even though we're saved and we've got a new desire and a new destiny, amen, there are new dangers, and the devil is on your trail. Oh, listen to me, friend. When you get saved, you know what you've done? You've declared war on Satan and the flesh in the world. Amen. Even though we ought to live by a new law, or to love life, or to live for God, love the Lord, even though we've been called to labor and we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, that's that right side. That's where we ought to be doing the right things. Amen. But sometimes we're not there. Would y'all agree with that? Amen. The Bible says, thank God that God works on the left hand. First of all, I want to say, God works on the undesired side of things. The right side is the desirable place. It's the right place, the worshipful place, the welcome place. That's where God wants us to be. Oh, but can I tell you, when you talk about left hand, the left side, that's the left hand, that's always typified as the undesired side. I didn't know this, but I looked up the words are connected, left hand, in the dictionary. And this is what it said. It says the left side. That's the liberal side. Amen. That's the loose side. That's the lousy side. Are y'all following me? Who wants to be there? Well, nobody, but we all have been there. Every single one of us has been there. We've been on that loser side. We've been on that lousy living side. Amen. Hallelujah. That loose living side. We've been there. Ain't you glad, friend, that that's the side that God doth work? God don't leave it by itself. God works there. He wants them off the side that's on the left, on the right side. Woo! I'm glad He does. Amen. If he doesn't, we'd be messed up. The word there in the dictionary said it's synonymous for a word that means insincerity. It means to be malicious. I looked up the word sinister because I saw it outside of left hand. If you looked up the word sinister, do you know that that means left-handed? That means the left hand? Oh, have you ever shook hands with the left hand? If you shake hands with the left hand, it's an oath that will not be kept. If you shake with the right hand, it's an oath that you give your word for. You don't raise your left hand. Are y'all following what I'm saying? The word sinister means left-handed. You ever heard somebody use this? Well, they're speaking. That's a sinister word. That's a sinister act. The word itself has sin in it. On the left side, brother. Oh, but thank God, glory to God, He works on the left side. You say, what? I don't know if I've ever been on the left side. Oh, yes. When health declines, it's sometimes on the left side. When health declines, has anybody ever got a bad report at the doctor? Man, I have. And I want to tell you, thank God, hey, man, picking on that piano is evidence that God works on the left side of things. Every single one of these persons here today, we've got health experiences. When the health declines, I'm glad that's the side that God works on. Hallelujah. He works on the left side of things. Some of you might be thinking, preacher, my health has declined. I don't even know if God loves me. Hey, but don't forget, friend, hey, the Bible says that the God doth work there. And don't say God did work there. God doth work there. He said, I look for God on the left hand where He doth work. Oh, I'm glad when your health declines, He's working there. Miss, hey, I just want to ask. Hey, amen, Miss Cheryl. On the left side, when health declines, God works there. He shows up when nobody can. When the physicians don't know what to do, that's when God, Miss Angela, that's when God shows up, ain't it, sister? Amen, amen, baby. That's when God shows up, Michelle. Thank God when God shows up. When you get the bad news in it, listen, they don't spell cancer, hallelujah, with a bigger C than the God. I spell mine with a big G. He's not a little G God. He's a big G God. Hallelujah. When health declines, when business deteriorates, amen, when everything, some of y'all have got businesses of your own, some of you got finances that ain't where they ought to be, but can I say today, on the authority of the Word of God, when you have those left-hand experiences, when you're looking for God, hallelujah, you can rest assured that left hand, when business deteriorates, when it feels like, amen, everything's falling apart. Ain't you glad? That's where God works at. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When sorrow darkens a home. Amen. Amen. God works in them left side. Amen. When sin divides a home, God works in those on that left hand. It ain't a place thank God, that's desired. But even in undesirable places, hey, but you know how I know? When we get over there on those left-handed side, we're living in undesirable conditions. We're acting like an undesirable saint, hanging around undesirable sinners, and we'd wonder, does God even? But God goes on the left side, desiring to get the saints out of their mess. Amen. To draw sinners out by conviction. Woo! I mean, when health declines and business deteriorates and the sorrow hits the home, when everything falls apart and sin comes in your life, on the left-hand experiences, God doth work there. Amen. That's good news for me. God works there on the undesirable side. Amen of things. God works on the awkward side. If you think about left hand, the definition also means awkward. It means to be opposite from dexterous. In other words, I remember my old uncle, me and him would be out there hammering nails. He said, I'm ambidextrous. What he was saying is, Brother Terry, I can drive nails with either hand. We'll race with the hammer. You remember Barry would say, he'd set them 16-penny nails in them corners, and I mean, he'd tap it in, one shot, it'd be down. Well, I wanted to show him I could do it too. So I did it with my right hand, worked pretty good. I put that hammer in my left hand, that felt real awkward. It just didn't even feel right. Has anybody in here as a Christian ever been in an awkward situation? Feeling like you didn't belong? Feeling like, why am I even here? Why am I here? Why do I go to these places? Why do I go to a family reunion? Amen. Why do I go to these? Hey, I'll tell you why. Though it might feel awkward, though you may feel out of place, hey, amen, God can still use you to drive home some truth. Hey, amen, God doth work in the undesirable places of your life and the awkward times. Amen. And the word awkward there, amen, it means to be. It also means left-handed. Left-handed means to be awkward. It's synonymous one with another. It means the oath that's not kept, or the salute that means nothing at all. I just want to say today, I'm glad God works over there when I feel awkward coming in the house of God. I remember somebody saying, a preacher, I preached on this not long ago, keeping pace with grace. Every single person ought to keep pace with grace. I said this on a Wednesday night. I said, if you're a member of this church, if you attend this church, you're responsible for 3 messages at the very minimum. There's a whole lot more than that, but let's just say 3 messages a week. That's 3 messages a week times 52. Hey, man, if I'm right, that's 156 messages. Whether you come to church or not, you're responsible because God's put you in a body, and God's going to hold you accountable to the truth. Is it God's will for you to be here? Absolutely. Now, I understand the first times when you're sick, and I know God keeps a record of all that. But I'm talking about the times you got a stump toe, and the times you just feel wore out, and the times you give all your energies and to everything else. But God, you're accountable for the truth that's been preached, and it's been given, and it's been shared. And that truth that's shared has been received. And when you come to church and you see the church that was right here has progressed through the man, the truth that's been given them to over here. You come in the church, you're way back here. You may feel awkward. You may feel out of place. But can I say today, God is in the ketchup business. And if you'll come down here, confess, and get right with God, He'll translate you, amen, over to here. Woo! Hallelujah! I believe God will take care of His church. He works in the awkward time. You should not feel awkward in the house of God. You should feel welcomed in the house of God. It shouldn't feel out of place. It shouldn't feel weird. Not only does God work on those sides, that the left-hand side is an awkward side. He is the undesirable side, but He works on the neglected side. First of all, I want to say, sometimes we live, and yes, it is awkward, and yes, it is undesirable, but sometimes we hang around the wrong things, amen, and live on that side where it is a side of neglect. The left-hand side, you can look it up definition-wise, it is a neglected side. We don't hear much about the left-hand side. We hear all about the right side and the right side throughout the Bible, and it looks like the left hand is neglected, and though what appears to be neglected, hey, aren't you glad today that we've got a God that works just like that? Messiah. You say, "Where? Who are you talking about, preacher?" That neglected side. That side that's excommunicated. That side that's the opposite of the favored side. That's where the lepers live. That's where the lame live. That's, oh Lord, I'm feeling something on that. Are y'all following me? I'm glad I might have lived in a leper colony full of my sin. I might have been lame, couldn't help myself. But I had a visitor one day. The Lord showed up on my porch. Woo! Amen! And I got born again, and I got off the left side. Hey, the left side is where God doth work. But I want to tell you this. It may be neglected. Might be awkward. Might be undesirable. Might be neglected. But ain't you glad God visits there? That's where He works. But you know what? As a Christian, you got to watch this. If you don't watch it, you'll begin to live over there on the neglecting side. Neglecting to pray like you ought to pray. Neglecting to study your Bible like you ought to study. You know what you're doing? You're left-handing God. You know what you're doing? You're cheating God. If you looked at it like luck, the Romans would always say, if they had a raven come in and land on the left side of the window, it was a bad omen or a sign of bad luck. I'm glad I don't care about bad luck. You can run all the black cats in front of me, I'll never X them out. Don't worry about it. Because my life is not typified by luck. My life is typified by the plan of God. I want to live my life for His glory. Amen. I'm not trying. It's not a roll of the dice. It's not chance. No, sir. But I'll tell you what. Anything good that happens to me, it's a gift from heaven above. Amen. And be heeded in God's Word. But now you could say that the left-hand side is the wrong side to be on. But ain't you glad? Though it might be neglected, and that's where the lepers live, and that's where the lame live. That's where that old boy found himself. Y'all know the story of the prodigal son. Gathers all his money, walks down there with the money jingling in his pockets. He's got a purse full of money. He's told his daddy, "I want to leave. I want my inheritance early." He goes down there, and the Bible says, amen, and I'm not talking about Luke 15, but I'm talking about Luke 10 type person. And that guy takes that money, and he walks down, and the Bible said he leaves Jerusalem and walks down the way to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem is the city of God. That's the place where the ark is. That's the place where the temple is. That's where worship goes on. That's the city of God. That's where He's declared for His name to be. But over in Jericho, that's the sin. That's the city of sin. That's where lust and lasciviousness goes on. And He's gotten His leaves out. Hey, man, in Luke chapter number 10, He's going to walk down yonder and He's going to have His money in His hand and He's going to live it up in righteous living. He goes headed down there and He falls among thieves and they strip Him and they leave Him naked and they leave Him half dead, and the priest comes by and he ain't got nothing for him, and the Levite comes by and he ain't got nothing for him. But thank God, a good Samaritan, he didn't just happen by, but he came by where he was. Woo! Amen! Got down off of his donkey, went down there in the ditch, in the neglected side, in the awkward side, on the left side, got down there in the ditch with him, took out that wine, washed them sores, put in the Holy Ghost oil, set him back up on the beast, took him all the way to the inn. That's a picture of the church. Left him in the care of the inn, and he said, "I'm going to come back for him. Hey, man, and you take care of him with all these provisions, but when I come back, I'll give him everything else that's needed." Woo! Can I say today, hallelujah, that we don't need to be hanging around the neglected side. Let's love on them. Let's win them to the Lord. Let's don't make our separation don't mean isolation. But can I tell you, we're some things that we don't need to be acting like. We don't need to be acting like they act. No sense you going to bars with them. I don't care if you're the designated driver. You don't need to be around that. Amen. Witness to them outside the bar. Tell them you love them. Amen. Everybody okay? That's right, ain't it? Brother Terry, I was thinking that the sin, the gross sin, the outward sin, that's not really our problem. You know where our problem is, our iniquities. You know where our problem is? It's the things we neglect. It's not what we do, it's what we neglect to do. You see, we've got that flesh still with us. That flesh is used to that neglecting side. That flesh is used to living life for itself. That flesh wants to rule your life. You know, when you start off marching, what do you start off with, Brother Johnny? Start off with the right foot. Start off, hey man, the left foot. Start off with the right foot. Do chain step. Hallelujah. Hey, get everybody back in step. I know this. Anybody gets out of step messes the whole formation up. Gets everything in a mess. It neglect you neglecting things that you ought to do. It'll affect your family. It'll affect your church. It'll affect sinners from getting saved. With some things we do not need to neglect. We do not need to neglect our prayer life. We do not need to neglect our study life. We just study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He didn't call you to sit around and do nothing. He said you're the workman of the Lord. He's called us to go to work for God. Amen. There's some things we're neglected. Have you told somebody about the Lord today? I'm glad God works on that. Brother, you say, I found myself over here. Hey, I'm glad the Bible says He doth work there. I'm on the awkward side. I'm on that side of neglect. I've been neglecting my duty. I've been running around on God. I've been cheating on God. I have failed God. Woo! God don't leave you there. I'm glad God doth work there. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only do we see He works on the neglected side, the awkward side, the undesirable side, but that left-hand side also means the unsuccessful side. Let me just say this. Everything in our world is designed for right-handed people unless it's specifically made. Now, let me explain to you. Most guitars are made for right-handed people. You have to get a special guitar made for left-handed people. Or you could be like Brother Frank Insley, who flips a right-handed guitar upside down and plays it from reverse. The only man I know that can do that. Play every instrument he does. He can play any one of these instruments in him left-handed. The Benjamites were a warring group of people. They were left-handed people. Hey, man, my grandfather, he wrote left-handed. Have you ever seen a left-handed person write? Most of them write upside down. My wife is the only left-handed person I've ever seen that writes with her hand in the right position, and she writes left-handed. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it's awkward. Everything seems to be designed to not suit the left-handed people. But ain't you glad we got a God that loves us enough? He'll raise that left-handed crowd up, write them down in the Bible as being mighty warriors. That crowd that lives left out, that crowd that feels neglected, woo! I'm glad there's a God that says, you're special in my book. Amen! Hallelujah! Woo! I preached a message one time on Judges 3:16. When Lefty let Fatty have it. You remember that, dear? Amen. There was a left-headed man went in there and delivered them from the oppression of the Moabites. And he was so big that when he stuck that man with that knife, his blubber fell down over the half and he couldn't pull it out. But that one death brought deliverance to the nation of Israel. Can I say there's one death? Hey, that was Judges 3:16. There's one death, John 3:16. Amen. That brought deliverance to everybody that will trust Him. Amen. Woo! Thank God God uses those people that may feel left out, may feel neglected, may feel like they're less important, may feel like the whole world is designed for everybody but them. You ever feel like you live on that left side? It's not only awkward. You might have got some bad news. Undesirable. Nobody desires for cancer in their life. Nobody says, hey, I want cancer. I've heard a lot of people testify thanking God that they had cancer after God's brought them out of it. I remember Marissa Reba Mode. She stood up and testified. She sat on the third row, and she's still shouting the victory. She sat on the third row. She never shouted, never lifted her hand, sit there like most folk are here today, sitting here, hey man, with like a stump on, like an old bump on a log, like a frog. It's got something in it caught in its goozle. Hey man, is everybody okay? Yes, sir. It's preaching time. Hallelujah. It's right. And old Reba, she'd sit there. Good lady. Somehow or another, through her husband's connected in a way to Michelle, and I can't get all that explained out. But anyway, I loved her. Sweet lady, godly lady, dressed right, tried to live right. But I'm going to tell you, she went through cancer, lost all of her hair. And in that cancer, she started shouting, testifying. If she testified once, she'll testify three times. She'll start saying things like, whoa! I want to thank God for cancer! God, sir. I didn't realize how good it was to worship God. And she's still doing it, Brother John. She done went through two times, three on the third time now, and still shouting the victory about cancer because cancer brought her closer to God. Nobody desires it, but it's the undesired. That's where God doth work. In the awkward times, God doth work. Woo! Amen! Thank you, Lord. When you feel neglected, God doth work. I told somebody this. I want y'all to hold your place here and turn with me right quickly to 1 Corinthians 1. Yeah, I thank God for being a preacher. God bless me. And I count it an honor to be a preacher. Thank God God called me to be a pastor. To me, here's you ought to love preaching. You ought to love preaching. If you're saved, you ought to love preaching. It's a good indicator you ain't saved. Or you're not right with God when you don't love preaching. When you can take it or leave it, you ain't right with God if you are saved. Is everybody okay? Because when you get right with God, you want preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. And it don't matter if you heard 400 messages on John 3:16. You're ready for another. Amen. That young preacher's on John 3:16. Glory. Pour it on him, Lord. I don't know when Lord's going to let me preach this, but I want to preach on James chapter 5. I may use that as an illustration here in just a minute. James chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, it talks about how to catch a stray. Hey, when we got something to stray off, thank God we ought to go in the stray catching business. Everybody, we ought to be the stray catch. We're in this ministry together. I thank God for preaching. I do love it. I love preaching. I love listening to it, love doing it, love being around it. But I'm going to tell you this. The pastor, the good preacher, will not only just love preaching, he'll love them he's preaching to. And that's how you know you've got a good preacher and a pastor. Listen to me now. You can love preaching, but you need to love the people you're preaching to. I believe Job had these guys. It don't look like they loved him, but he knew one loved him. And he went to looking for him. And he said, well, I know where he does work. I was on that left side. I remember when he came where I was. Woo! I'm going to go back over there because I feel like I need to get saved all over again. I'm in bad shape on the left. Hey, man, I know he works there. I'm going to go to that awkward side, that undesirable side. I mean, he's got balls from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. I mean, everybody seems to turn their back on him. And no wonder his wife's in grief. Hey, man, don't beat her up too bad. God bless her heart. I mean, she's going through a hard time. He's lost everything he had. He's lost his kids. He is in a left-hand experience. Hey, man, but he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I went to looking for him. Hey, man, woo. So he went to looking for him. Now, if you found your place, you found your place, you heard Brother Jeremy. Let me see. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. This is what he says. I'm sorry, brother. He says this. He was talking about the preaching of the cross. And he said, for you see your calling, brethren, verse 26, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I love preaching. And thank God it is an exalted position, the place, thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you, it'll knock the pride out of you. When you start to see who he called. He must have went to the left side to call preachers. Not many wise. Amen. Not much to boast about over here in the qualification of who he goes looking for. Not many wise. But look what he says. After the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble. Are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound us. So why? Hey, God called me for it. But hey, if they think I'm foolish, as long as they take knowledge, I've been with God. Amen. It knocks the pride out of you. You know what Job said? I was on that left side. So I'm going to go over here. You may feel neglected. Hey, look, we ain't got nothing to boast about just because God called us to preach. God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. God chooses the weak to confound the strong. Hey, I'm just glad God calls, brother. I'm glad he gets me out of the mess I was in on that awkward side, that neglected side. Some of you may feel unsuccessful. That left side, it's an unsuccessful side. Many people look on that left-hand side and they think, oh God, those that fail. I'm one of them that fail, preacher. I'm on that left side. I'm unsuccessful. My rod's not budding. My head's not blossoming. Hey man, I wonder if God just forgot about me. Hey, but don't you forget, nevertheless, though you may not have budded, though you may feel like, it's like Brother Johnny said, over here on the unsuccessful side, many will help the successful. But seems like nobody will help the unsuccessful. As long as Job was prospering and doing good, he had buddies. But now his buddies has turned on him like a bunch of ravening wolves. Are y'all following me? Everybody, it's easy. There's a saying, success comes from the successful. And so everybody wants to help. But who helps the unsuccessful? The left hand is the unsuccessful side. Maybe you feel like you've not fulfilled your potential. Maybe you feel like you failed. Maybe you feel like your family's not blooming. There's no buds. You're a rod that ain't been budding lately. Some of you may sit here and you say, preacher, you're preaching to me, but I know I need to hear it. Just to be honest with you, I feel like I've failed so much. I'm living on that unsuccessful side. Can I tell you this? Thank God there is hope. He doth work on the left hand, on the unsuccessful side. Oh, Brother Johnny sent me a picture of several church signs. One of them was, hey man, one of them, did you see that one? Said character. It is a treating somebody good that can't return it to you. The idea is being good to them that cannot be good back to you. Oh, everybody's good to them that can be good back to them. But will anybody go to them, hey man, who are unsuccessful, who have failed, who have fallen on their face, who were breeze blockers and fell out the window? Will anybody stop what they're doing? And, hey man, will anybody catch a stray? I'm just going to use it right quick for the illustration, but in James chapter 5, here's what the Bible says. In James chapter number 5, it's a familiar place. In James 5, this is what it says. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Well, in other words, you know how you catch a stray? You got to take a trip. Amen. When we lost a stray sheep, Brother Johnny. I didn't know where he was. I looked all over the country for him. Me and Keith finally got in his Dodge truck, went down and rode around on this little road, goes behind our house down to the creek property, and we saw that sheep. Now, there was nothing wrong with it. His throat wasn't cut, but the sheep had struggled so long in a briar thicket that it just lay down and would have died. There was nothing wrong with that sheep. It wouldn't even move. We went over to it. We picked it up and put it in Keith's truck. Laid there like it was half dead. I didn't know what we was going to do. We get it over to the green pastures, pop out the gate. That thing springs up, Brother Johnny, goes running around, leaping in joy. Hey, I'm back with my family. Hallelujah, I'm back with my family. If me and Keith didn't love that sheep enough and go catch a stray, what? Hey, you got to take a trip. Get out of your comfort zone once in a while. Go down there and knock on their door. Amen. Hallelujah. Love them enough to go catch them. Got to take a trip. You got to tell them the truth. The Bible says they've left the truth. They've erred from the truth. That from the people of truth. They've got out from among this atmosphere. They left the truth himself. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They left the people of truth. They've left truth. They've erred from the truth. They've wandered off. They're astray. Will anybody love them enough to take a trip? Will anybody love them enough to tell them the truth? Will anybody love them enough to pick them up? Will anybody love them enough? Amen. To see them restored, the renewed. I don't know why. And when I think about that left hand, and I think about us living on that side of neglect, where we're unsuccessful financially, maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, living on that, you know, we become astray, an outcast. Nobody don't come love on us. We're liable to get further and further and further away from the truth. Well, good news, saint of God. Almost in closing, good news. God works on that left hand. That's where He doth work. That's not the side that He's forsaken. That's not the side where he's forsaken. It might seem awkward. It might be undesirable. You didn't sign up to go off. I don't believe that prodigal son in the Luke 15 one. I don't believe the prodigal son. I don't believe Luke 15 said, hey, show me the bus going to the hog pen. I want on the hog pen, but that ain't what, nobody intends on it. You, when you wind up unsuccessful on the left, you don't mean to get there, but you've erred. You've wandered from Him who is truth. You've wandered from the preaching of the truth. You wandered from the people of the truth. And if somebody don't love you enough to take a trip, it'll be like that sheep. That sheep would have died. He said He's watched them die because there's nothing physically wrong, but they're a herding animal. And praise God, if somebody will love them enough to pick him up when we dropped that tailgate and his eyes popped up. Brother, his life sprang back in him. Woo! Amen! They went to grazing, went to drinking, went to rubbing with them other babies. Hallelujah! I'm restored. You know what that's a picture of? Psalms 23. He restoreth my soul. He don't reject you because you went to the left. He restores my soul. Woo! I want to have a shouting voice today. Amen! He works two more lastly. He works on the unhopeful side. You remember what he said in Ephesians 2, 11 through 14? You remember where we were, Gentiles, without hope. Having no hope is actually what it says. Without God, having no hope. Sinner, he works on the unhopeful side. That left-hand side's where that thief died and went to hell. But it wasn't because God wasn't working over there. Sinner, you may feel like God don't love you. You may feel like you're without God and have no hope. But can I tell you, Job said it in Job 23 and verse number 9. God went to seek in you. No man sees God until God sees him. No man understands until God enlightens him. And so God's given you understanding. He showed you that you lost. He showed you that you need him. And what happens is, when he goes to looking for you, then you'll go to looking for him. And he said, I looked on the left because that's where he doth work. I remember him getting me out of that mess. I feel like I'm back in that same side. He said, but he said, I cannot behold him. Woo! When the Lord turns the light on and lets you see him, can I tell you today, God works. He doth work on that side that you feel like is unhopeful. You may feel like neglected. May feel, thank God, unsuccessful. May feel awkward. You may feel like it's, and nobody deserves it. He may feel like you have no hope. But can I say, that's the side where God do work. And lastly, God works. Thank God for the undiscerning side of things. You see, in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 28, while you're on that left hand, you can't really discern correctly. Because you begin to think about Romans 8:28. I know that the Bible says all things work together for good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to His word. I know what the Bible says, but for some reason I'm not understanding how in the world this could be God. And you may not have the right discernment. You're looking at it from the wrong perspective. You're looking at it from temporal view and not from God's eternal view. But can I say today, God works on the left hand. You may feel like you don't have hope. You may feel like you're in an undesirable place. You may feel like, but look, think about the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, God's name is not one time mentioned. God is not one time alone. But every word throughout that book, God's working behind the scenes. You may not see, you may not know, but God, the sovereign God, is in control. You may feel like God's forgot you. You may feel like I can't understand it. But can I say, the left hand is the side that God doth work on. What you need to say is, God, help me to look at it through your eyes. God, give me 20/20 vision. Take me by the cross of Calvary. Take me down to resurrection tomb. Help me, God, to see clearly. Fill me with the Holy Ghost so that I can see clearly again. Oh, the undiscerning side, the unhopeful side, that left side, the unsuccessful side, the undesired side. Oh, that might be you today. Jacob, you come. The Bible said in Job 23, I looked on the left hand. He was in an undiscerning time where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. You know what? Some of you like that song with Solomon, girl. He's called for you. He's beckoning you to come closer, to sell out with God and live in Canaan. He's wanting you to go on with God. He's wanting you to have a Holy Ghost filled life. He's come by where you're at. He specifically made a visit for you. He's called you, but you said, I'm lazy. I've done covered up my feet. I've done put on my bedclothes. I've got comfortable. I've got complacent. I'm waiting for a more convenient time. But something welled up in you, and you finally had to go. And the Bible said that her hand dropped with fragrance. Oh, I just like it when I just touch where he's been. Oh, that I could behold him again. That I could see God in all of his glory. Church, saints, that's what we need. We need God to show up in a powerful way. Revival to stir our hearts and affect our homes. Have an impact in this community. Woo! You may feel like you're on the left side. Can I tell you today, that's the side where God doth work. Search, he said, and you shall find me. Knock, and it shall be open. He said, if you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. We can drink from the same cup. We can have fellowship. Woo! Like the brother said last Sunday, he can reach you parched corn if there's nothing between you and him. Oh, hear me today. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the truth.